This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today, Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. First, USDA's May World Soybean Supply and Demand Estimate. Dr. Mark Jackanowski.
We're anticipating worldwide a fairly healthy increase in global soybean production, up about 14 million tons from the 2025-2026 crop year. The U.S. is contributing part of that increase, but also higher production in South America, Argentina, Brazil, an increase in Canada and India as well, a little bit of an increase in China. Now, when we're talking about the out year for global soybean production in places like Argentina and Brazil and Paraguay, those are crops that are pretty far off in the future. They won't be planted until later this fall. So we're really basing these projections on trend yield and expected area growth.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Bob Maurer's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, nice little rally here on Monday.
Yeah, certainly after what looked like a pretty abysmal close last week in corn, wheat, and soybeans at a minimum, the market was able to shrug off that, let's call it, technical chart damage and really have a nice little pop to the upside. And this is really based on the news that came out, headline news, right, of the dollar value of what China would be willing to commit to in terms of buying U.S. ag products. So that is the main driver on the day-to-day. The number that was thrown out there was that China would purchase at least $17 billion in U.S. ag products annually. Potentially corn would be included. We'll see how that plays out. But there is a lack of commodity-specific details that still, I would say, needs to be ironed out, or at least the market needs to be made aware of, so that we know which one of these markets, if there is going to be a bias towards one over another, is going to benefit the most, right? And then I think the market could have a easier job of trying to discount that information into the price. And beyond that headline news event, looking at them one by one, if we look at what's going on with the corn market in general, really it's being buoyed by the fresh demand optimism from that potential Chinese purchases, like I just mentioned. But working against that is near-term bearishness from good planting. Things are off to a good start in terms of getting the crop in the ground. Large projected supplies based on that early planting, and then potentially the South American export competition, right? U.S. corn export demand has been strong. That's another one of the bullish elements, right? That's definitely outperformed this season. If the Chinese business does include some corn, that'll add to it. So that's definitely favorable for the market. The other things that really working its way into the market is, like I mentioned, with the good start to the season so far, weather is mostly non-threatening for now. All right, we'll see how things evolve. It's a long summer, generally speaking, right? In terms of soybeans, again, not to sound like a broken record, but you got the demand optimism out of China. But then you got the near-term bearish checks, which come from that good weather, the heavy fund length, and again, the Brazilian export competition. So things are only going to go so far, big picture, in terms of price appreciation, because we're talking about global markets these days, not just domestic markets, right? And granted, there could be some needle-moving developments in terms of biodiesel policy here in the United States, which would add to the demand domestically, right, which could help prices. But generally speaking, then you need to always be mindful of what's going on in the world marketplace. And if we get out of hand to the upside in terms of price for soybeans or for corn, for example, or even for wheat, and we'll touch on that in a second, the market's going to react by maybe looking elsewhere to you know, satisfy its needs, basically. For soybeans, old crop U.S. soybean demand may not get much help from the Chinese headline. We'll see how that plays out. New crop export demand remains a decent opportunity. The NOPA crush was supportive, despite, you know, missing expectations by a bit. April NOPA came in below the trade guess and below March, but was still a record for April, up around 11.4% year-on-year. So that's a good thing. Soybean oil stocks were mixed, and it seems like at this point some of the technical pressure has eased after the rebound. Okay, so we're going to have to see how that plays out over a short window here. In terms of wheat, well, again, Chinese demand potentially. We'll see how that plays out. Poor U.S. hard red winter wheat conditions, Russian spring wheat planting delays, and longer-term global production risks are adding to the bullishness that we've seen, especially the localized hard red winter wheat conditions. Weather is turning a bit, though. We're getting some precip, so any part of the crop that can still benefit from precip, if, where it's not too little too late, you know, that'll help in terms of the numbers by the end of the season here, the growing season, that is. Kansas crop problem may already be priced in, so maybe we've seen the worst of things in terms of expectations in terms of production, which has worked its way into higher prices. And then to the point earlier, where we're living within global markets and there might be some domestic imbalance between supply and demand or expectations for supply and demand, but still we're working within a global marketplace. You know, there's been talk of the cheaper Polish and Black Sea wheat, and that could work its way here into the U.S. for those who need to, again, procure that supply and are looking for the best deal to do so. The Kansas Wheat Tour, it confirmed the serious U.S. crop problems. It's basically corroborated the major production issues and supported the USDA sharp production cut in the May WASDE. Again, we'll see if it's already been priced into the marketplace. We did have some improved U.S. weather that pressured wheat late last week, so better rain chances across dry areas of the southern plains and central U.S. took some of the stress off the crop in the areas that can be improved. So there were rains in parts of Nebraska, Kansas, Texas, and Oklahoma, which were viewed as helpful, even though it may not necessarily erase the long-term drought concerns. In terms of our competitors, Russian spring wheat planting is a concern. There's been cold and wet conditions. That's basically slowed down the Russian wheat planting, the spring wheat planting, that is. So the second half of May is going to be pretty important. And then in terms of competition, Black Sea and European wheat, they remain competitive. Some of the millers on the East Coast, the U.S. East Coast, reportedly bought some additional Polish milling wheat, with the values being much cheaper than the U.S. Gulf hard red winter values. South Korea also bought some optional origin feed wheat like Black Sea. So basically this points to a competitive market out there, and it could be a headwind. So in other words, prices aren't going to be able to rally unchecked because the world is happy to sell its wheat, if it can, to anybody who finds relative value. So plenty of things working their way through the marketplace. It's going to be nice to see some clarity in terms of how that roughly $17 billion in U.S. ag products gets carved out between commodities. I think that's going to be a driver on traders' minds. In terms of the wheat contract, we're going to continue to watch to see if the weather becomes a little bit more favorable and maybe salvage a big chunk of the potential production if possible. And then for corn and wheat, really the row crops there, we're just thinking about how good we're going to start out this season. And so far, it has been pretty decent. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then obviously the export sales side of the equation too.
Our guest, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, back with more on the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, can't get anything going here in livestock. What's happening?
Well, contrary to the grains and the oil seeds, the livestock markets did the opposite and showed some pretty good, well, decent weakness to start out the week. More so in the feeder cattle than the live cattle, but the hogs also fell back a bit on the session. In terms of the cattle, anywhere from 50 to 80 lower in the first couple few months there, and then anywhere about 270 to 300 points lower for the feeders. Hogs down about 45 to 90 or so. Really, what's driving these markets? Well, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, still have the tight cattle supplies on the beef side of the equation. Cash trade has been firm. Box beef values have been holding up. And, you know, there's always that variable of Chinese access for U.S. beef plants. So we'll see how that element works its way through the marketplace. And then working against it a bit is the fund length on the long side of the equation. Carcass weights are elevated. Again, that kind of sounds like a broken record because even though they've been elevated for quite some time, because the economics are such where it pays to fatten them, hold on to them longer, it still hasn't stopped the prices from slowing down to the upside. And the other variable being how high is too high in terms of what the consumer is willing to bear in terms of the very high beef prices. So one thing that I want to drill into just a bit here, Chinese renewed their U.S. beef export licenses for 425 U.S. beef plants and added more approved facilities. This is supportive because China often buys cuts and variety meats that are less heavily consumed in the U.S., and that could bring a stronger export value. So that would be welcome business. In terms of the hogs, real quick here, we've got potential Chinese pork demand, although I will take a wait-and-see attitude on that one. Firmer pork cutout values locally, improved packer margins, that's going to help. Working against it a bit is cash momentum, which has been on the weaker side. And futures are still carrying a premium to cash, so something's got to give. Got Mexico's import halt. And then just of late, the adequate slaughter, pork production has definitely worked its way into the market's psychology also. So the market reacted pretty quickly. Hasn't really found that hole that some thought was going to happen in terms of the supply side of the equation. And the market's sitting there towards recent swing lows.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Our guest, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, how do we find you?
Yeah, for the producers, the hedgers, the active traders out there looking for an experienced person like myself to collaborate with, I'd be happy to visit with them
about their market objectives, risk tolerance, and execution needs. To learn more, you just pick up the phone, give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053, or come visit online at www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
That's Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The U.S. cotton supply and demand ledger for May is balanced.
Our season average farm price forecast for the current marketing year, 2025-2026, we raised 2 cents per pound, now at 63 cents per pound. For that new crop year, harvested this upcoming fall, we're forecasting a season average price of 73 cents per pound, and that would be up 10 cents per pound year over year.
Explaining the reasons behind the price forecast, World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekanowski.
Strength we've seen in cotton prices over the past couple of months or so, expecting that to continue into 2027.
As for the world balance sheet, lower cotton production in several major nations resulted in a year-over-year decrease and contributed to reductions in most global cotton supply and use categories. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.
The Agribusiness Report.